You're listening to the Are You Weddy podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Gaskarth, owner of 87 Events, a luxury wedding design and planning company. I'm here to share my expertise on everything wedding, from straightforward tips and tricks for planning your wedding to advice on how to deal with the inevitable Karens bringing the wedding drama. Stay tuned. Hello, and welcome back to the Are You Weddy podcast. Thanks so much for joining. A little bit of a break. It is wedding season. We are in full swing now, so apologies if these episodes are a little bit off schedule for the next couple of months. But I'm going to do my best to keep them every other week, so please keep tuning in. Set those notifications for new episodes so that you don't miss out. Part of the reason why I really wanted to do this podcast is because I can't help every person one-on-one. And I thought this would be a really nice way to connect with couples all over the world and help people who might not be able to hire a wedding planner or, you know, are set on doing it themselves, which honestly, respect. It's a lot of work. So today I wanted to talk about everything DIY. When you're on a budget, it seems like the way to go, right? DIY this or that, cut the budget, and you have more money for other things. In reality, DIYing does not always save you money and isn't really always worth the trouble. Not to mention, some things are absolutely best left to the professionals. I think that DIYing certain things is great though. So let's start with some things that are easy to DIY, generally save you a little bit of money, and are worth your time and effort. Number one, escort board or display. First and foremost, let's go ahead and do a quick definition of what an escort board or display is. In short, this is your seating chart. So this can be done in a bunch of different ways. You could do it on a poster board type of thing or a mirror that is calligraphied and it would be in alphabetical order. I always recommend if you have over 100 guests, alphabetical order instead of by table is absolutely the way to go. Otherwise it gets really confusing. So your escort board or your escort display are how people are going to find their seats at your wedding. So this would be something that your guests see on the way into your reception. It could be something like I said, a board with alphabetical listings, or it could be a display of some kind. I've seen some really, really cool escort displays that really help to tell the story of the couple. If you're really into golf, you could do a display of golf balls with people's names on them. Or I have a wedding coming up where we have a little bit of a 70s theme going. So we're using disco balls and we have guest names and their table numbers attached to tiny disco balls. And yes, it is adorable. I've also seen one of my favorite planners, Grit and Grace. They actually made this really incredible shelving display where they had little houses and the sign said, "It takes a village," or something like that, which was super, super cute. So they basically had like what you'd see a train village, if you guys know what I'm talking about. Anyways, it was super cute. It's a great way to insert some personality into your overall aesthetic. And sometimes it's a good photo moment too, to kind of stand in front of. So you can really get creative. Back to the topic of DIYing. Escort displays are a great thing to do on your own. You know, you can really think outside the box and come up with a design that speaks to your story. And I recently did a wedding where the bride was a doctor and she collected all these gorgeous antique medicine bottles. We had a stationer come and make tags for each one with the guest names and table numbers, and we put them over the neck of the bottles. And this is something that you could easily DIY. I've also seen people use seashells. I used luggage tags for a different client. There are so many options, and it's something that you guys can really have fun with doing on your own. Number two. Table numbers. I once had a couple create these incredible table numbers. They were salt blocks. Don't ask me how they did it. I have no idea, and I am not nearly crafty enough for that, but they were absolutely gorgeous. You can also go on places like Pinterest or YouTube and learn how to make all kinds of different table numbers that fit your tablescape. The most important thing to remember about table numbers is that they have to be big enough and legible, because I love the idea of making something fit your aesthetic and fit your story, but not at the detriment of logistics. I have a client right now who wanted to name her tables after special places that her and her fiance had been, which I think is a fantastic idea. But they have so many guests. I mean, it's going to be 200 plus people. So imagine walking into a room and having to look for Baltimore, Maryland, you know, on a table instead of a table number 5. So sometimes if you just inject a little bit of, you know, planning ahead into one of your really cute ideas, not only will it be a beautiful design and something really special and unique, it will also make sense for the flow and timeline of your event. So for that particular client, what we landed on is we're still going to use those great special places, but we're also going to have a number associated with each of those tables. So on the escort display, they'll see table 1, Washington, D.C., and then in the room, they'll find table 1 and it'll have a really cute little sign on it that says Washington, D.C. So you kind of get the best of both worlds there. But table numbers are a great thing to DIY on your own because it's not super, super time consuming and you can really get creative with it. Number 3, wedding favors. So if you've been listening, you've probably heard me say a couple of times that I am not the hugest fan of wedding favors. Generally speaking, I think they're usually wasteful. That being said, when you're able to do something really unique or edible or just something very thoughtful, I think it's definitely worth it. So one of my best friends, Sophie, is super crafty, and she also has basically calligrapher handwriting. And she ended up making these little bottles of really nice olive oil with this adorable wax seal on top. And this was for her wedding a couple years ago. And they actually also doubled as place cards. She made a little tag with everyone's names calligraphied on them and tied it to the neck of the bottle with a little ribbon. So not only was it dual purpose, but it was super cute and something memorable. I don't think anybody really left theirs there. Everybody was so interested in it that they, you know, put it in their bag and took it with them at the end of the night, which is half the problem with wedding favors. Anyways, on to the next. Number 4. Welcome bags for hotel guests. I always think this is a really fun way to get friends and family involved. Order all the elements for your bags, like stuff them together, put a little welcome note in, and in addition to like the filling, you could do chips, water, Advil, little snacks or treats that your city is known for, and so on. And then also those little notes that you put in can have information that's helpful to your guests, whether it's what time your shuttle pickups are, or a reminder to wear sensible shoes, or it could even be things to do in the area. But hotel welcome bags are such a great little addition, particularly if your wedding is mostly out of towners. And like I said, it's a great way to get like your bridesmaids or groomsmen involved, get everybody over, have some champagne, and everybody gets to just dive in and make a little assembly line. And then they could even help you drop them off a couple days before the wedding. Number 5, invitations. If you have a knack for that. The same friend that I was talking about for the wedding favors that are little olive oil bottles, she also made her wedding invitations and she did such a lovely job. This is really not for everyone, but if you have the time to do it and you've done the research and you know really how much postage you need, you know, you really can make something that is extra special, even if it's a combination of DIY and something like minted. So my good friend Heather, she has just the best style. She is so stylish and had a real vision for her invitations, but didn't want to break the bank on custom design. So what she ended up doing is getting the main invitation pieces, so like the invitation, the RSVP card, the RSVP envelope, all from somewhere, I think, like Minted or something like that. But then she found this wrapping paper and she loved the pattern on it. And she actually cut out her own envelope liner. She also got a wax seal made and did these beautiful little golden strings, like super thin strands around the invitation, and tied it and put her little wax seal on there. And it was just so special. And so, you know, now when their guests open up these wedding invitations, that is something that you made with your own hands that you put extra care and attention into. So again, if you are good at this sort of thing, you know, it's somewhere that you can certainly DIY. You know, not everyone can afford a custom invitation designer, but for what it's worth, they are 100% worth the money if you do have the budget for it. But again, not everybody has the budget for that. And there are so many ways, you know, to make sure that your invitations and that your wedding day stationery is fit to you and really unique on the day of. All right, so those are some things that you can definitely DIY on your own. Those are fairly easy if you're a crafty person and if you have the time. But let's talk about some of the things that you should definitely leave to the pros. Number one, catering. Except in the case of something like cookies or a special family recipe, you know, and in that case, you're going to want to speak to your planner, speak to your caterer about this, make sure you have the right quantity, and make sure that you're giving yourself enough time to do this and time to deliver it and that all the logistics around it have been figured out. But generally speaking, I'm saying big, big, big no to catering your own wedding. I don't even care if you're a chef. Like, that's just way, way, way too much work on one person. And there are so many ways that that could turn into an absolute disaster. Maybe if you're having like a backyard barbecue, but even in that case, like you and your fiance and your family members should be focused on, you know, really enjoying the party. So even in the case of a backyard barbecue, I think you want to hire someone in at least to handle the cooking and the cleanup for you. Number two, flowers. And I think this is probably one of the most common things that people think they can DIY or that they do DIY. There are exceptions to every rule. I think if you're keeping it very, very, very simple and you have a cool place to store your vessels and you know, arrangements after they're created, then maybe you could do this successfully. But on the whole, flowers are not something that you should be DIYing. There are too many ways for this to go wrong as well. And I think that that's what comes down to leaving it to the pros versus DIYing it, is looking at how many things could go wrong and what your experience level is. Number three, photography and videography. Don't try and have your friends and family members be solely in charge of taking photos on your wedding day, because chances are in that case, big moments are going to get missed. And also, I'm going to say this, don't hire friends to do your photography. I mean, maybe if you have a friend who's a professional photographer who has done some weddings, that might work out in your favor. But just because somebody takes pretty good pictures of things does not mean that they should be in charge of photography for your wedding. You know, it's worth it to find someone who has experience, who can make sure that they are ready and there and taking, you know, all of these really special photos, and that nothing is going to be missed. And also, you want your friends and family members to enjoy your wedding day with you and be part of it, as opposed to essentially being one of your wedding vendors. It creates a really tricky line to tread, not only for you, but for your friends as well. Number four, music. A DJ's job is not just to hit play and sit back. If that's the kind of DJ that you have, then they're not doing a great job. Anyways, they're constantly supposed to be reading the room, changing the mood, creating a flow from ceremony to cocktails and cocktails to dinner and dinner to dancing. And sometimes it requires tweaking things based on the current mood. Also, the logistics of getting speakers and making a playlist and making sure you have Wi-Fi and blah, 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 blah. Too much. Leave it to the pros. Now let's move on to some tips for DIYing it right. Number one, don't bite off more than you can chew. If you take on too many DIY projects, you'll likely end up not doing your best work on all of them. So you want to enhance the wedding. So be realistic about your available time and only give yourself as many projects as you have time and energy for. Number two, get it done before the week of the wedding. You are going to have way too much on your shoulders already the week of the wedding, particularly if you're taking on some tasks yourself or if you haven't hired a planner. So make sure that you get it done well ahead of time, and that way it's off of your plate and you can really just relax and enjoy being in the moment. Number three, know your strengths and play to them. Again, I've said this a couple times already, but are you good at calligraphy? Great, use that. Make calligraphy signage or do your invitation envelopes. Are you great at making gift baskets? Perfect, turn that into making the best favors or your welcome bags or what have you for your guests. Number three, think through the logistics. I've actually had two grooms build custom pieces for their weddings. One was custom wooden bars, and the other was an escort wall that spun around, and the other side was a photo backdrop with a neon sign. And we talked through the logistics extensively beforehand, and they started the projects with plenty of time. I was so nervous that it would go wrong, but they both proved their talents. Both ended up being really special elements. You know, granted, do I think that they're both sitting in their garages collecting dust? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, they played to their strengths and it ended up being a really special thing that they got to say, wow, look at this. I made this for, you know, for our big day. Number five, ask for help. Your friends and family are probably looking for ways to jump in anyways. Don't hesitate to ask if they have the time to jump in and help you. Also, just a piece of advice from me here. If you have a friend or family member helping out on the day of the wedding, don't work them to death. Anything the day of should be minimal because they're also your guests. And if you're relying on them to do something like take your gifts home at the end of the evening, make sure they aren't going to get tanked and forget it. It is a wedding after all. And honestly, after the last 2 years of COVID, people are more than ready to let loose and have a good time. So think through that and make sure that you're not setting anybody up for failure. And there you have it, everybody. I hope that that helps you in your quest to not being a DIY disaster. Let's go ahead and take a couple of listener questions from here. Our first question today comes from Steph. We have very different tastes in music. What's the best way to make everyone happy? You know, I have a lot of clients who are super into music and have very specific requests, so you are not alone. I had a couple once who was very into Fish. I mean, big fans. I actually tried to listen to it and wow, not for me, guys. Anyways, I had some concerns because they really wanted a lot of that jam bandy type of music played, so my concern was, oh, are their guests going to be bored by this? Is there going to be nobody dancing? And ultimately, you have to know your guests best. But we talked through it a lot beforehand, and here's what we kind of discussed. First, I had them make a don't playlist, and I would recommend this to everybody, whether you have a band or a DJ. Come up with maybe 10 or 15 songs that absolutely cannot be played. It doesn't have to be 30 or 40 songs because let's say you are really not into K Kenny Chesney, like you're not into country music. By putting something like that on your don't playlist, like one or two songs, your DJ or band is going to get an idea of the music that you don't like. If you don't like Taylor Swift, then chances are they're probably not also going to play Selena Gomez or Bruno Mars. You know, 10 or 15 songs is really a good enough chunk of music for them to get a good idea of what not to play. Then I had my clients do the same for a must playlist. So the combination of these, I think, really helps your band or DJ to get a great sense of what your, you know, flow in terms of music should be for the evening. For bands, obviously this works a little bit differently, because if the must play songs aren't in their current repertoire, you either have to pay them to learn those songs, which most bands will agree to play a couple of songs included, or rather learn a couple of songs included with your contract. But it's over, say, if it's over maybe three songs, then you might have to have them, you know, learn them and pay them extra to do that. The other option for bands is for these songs to be played on an iPod during their breaks. And that's something that you don't have to pay extra for. So basically, what the must play and don't play song lists do is give your band or DJ something like a map with destinations to visit throughout the evening, wherever they see fit. You know, they know the hazards to avoid, and really their job is to take your separate music styles and create an atmosphere that fits your specific event. And this is the reason why hiring a professional DJ is so important. They're used to this. This happens with so many couples. And also, I'll say this too, know your crowd. If your friends are super into house music and you know that's what's gonna get them dancing, make sure that your DJ or band knows that, and they're gonna find a way to transition from, you know, the different points in the timeline and the different moods to match your crowd specifically. Our next question is from Hannah. Our wedding party all live out of town and we're struggling to figure out their outfits. What's the best way to handle this? Gosh, this happens for so many of the weddings that I plan. You can go about this in a couple of different ways. If you have any bridesmaids near you, go try on dresses and just let them kind of narrow things down first. Try your best to select a designer that's accessible regardless of your location. Beholden is a great option for this. Their pricing is pretty reasonable and the stores are everywhere. And if you don't have a store near you, then they certainly would ship to you. And there are plenty of designers that have shops all over too, or designers that you can find in bridal shops anywhere. And then you can have your girls go and each try on dresses near them so that they can get, you know, everything ordered. If your bridesmaids are all wearing different dresses and you're having a hard time seeing what looks good together with everyone so far apart and just sending links or whatever, what I actually do is make a little diagram on Keynote or on Canva. I'll take screenshots or you know, save a photo of each dress and I put them next to each other just so that I can get a good idea of the overall aesthetic. For me, I do this after I know the order for ceremony. So usually maid of honor followed by bridesmaids shortest to tallest. That's the way that I recommend doing it. Obviously, not everyone does that, but I think it looks better in photos that way. And it avoids some of the drama of like, oh, well, you know, who's second in line? Who's least important? Who's most important? You know, obviously you want to have your maid of honor, your man of honor, your best man standing next to you. But aside from that, I think going by height, it just makes sense. And then you can also plan way ahead of time for your dresses or your suits and having your wedding party select, you know, their attire based on where they're standing in the lineup. And this also goes for the gentleman. If you're wearing a suit, there are also designers that are all over. Like the Black Tux is a fantastic option for suits. You know, so look around for designers, whether it's for dresses or suits, that are available all over, you know, the US or all over whichever country you live in. Our last question today comes from Court. I really want to keep my wedding small, but it's proving difficult with parents. What's your advice? This is really tricky. And Court, I am sorry you're dealing with this. Parent involvement is always really complicated. If your parents are also paying for your wedding, you want them to feel like they're represented as well. But at the end of the day, this is your wedding. If what you want is to keep it small and intimate, you need to have an open and honest conversation with your parents about why this means so much to you. And then what I would say is give a specific number of guests to each one of your families and even it out so that no one gets upset. Like, your family can fill their guest list with 50 guests of their choosing. And then your fiance's family can fill their guest list with 50 guests of their choosing. Obviously, if, you know, one set of parents is putting more money in, then that does complicate things a little bit. But again, everything, I believe, can be solved with good communication and kindness. Keep in mind that this is a really stressful time for your parents as well, and just approaching things with love and kindness and being upfront with them oftentimes helps to alleviate any stress or drama. All right, everybody, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in wherever you may be, if you're in your car, on the way to work, in the shower. I don't know. I do my best work in the shower, so anybody else? Just me? Cool. Anyways, thanks for listening. Don't forget to send in your questions for our next episode, which will be all about building a timeline, and it's going to be a really good one. So email me at hello@ruweddy.com. Happy planning.